Before we start, would like to have a moment of just special prayer, because Ed has a sister, and Carol, is that right? Yeah. And she's really struggling. We all know about it, but I think we as a church, that's our privilege and our obligation. So let's take a moment, and so that we're not amiss and lifting Carol up to the Lord. Father, she's really gone through it. And you've been there every moment, but you know what she needs. And I hear this morning they're doing dialysis and different things. But God, you're the director of healing. You're in charge of it. And I ask you to send your Holy Spirit of healing, your power that comes upon a person, because we're asking you, and two or more are gathered here today. And you're with us also, and you're with her. And I ask you to touch her, and that you touch her body, and that you touch her heart and her soul and her spirit and mind, will, emotion, that you make a complete, total healing, cleansing, deliverance. We pray the healing power of Jesus Christ, a great physician, upon her. And we thank you for it, and for all these others that are ill, that are suffering, that are hurting, and some have right here this morning, I don't even know about that, God, your healing power, but that each one know they're being prayed for, and each one know that God is at work right now, and that Carol know that right this moment. She just suddenly awakened with that freshening of the Spirit that God is real and God is all-powerful and God is God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It's like we can't, it just be a, kind of not, just wouldn't be right to just jump into a message and then just leave the things undone that we need to do to have a message and receive it. And God wants us praying for each other. If you see me this morning fiddling a little bit with these things, I want you to know I'm trying to get used to an old prescription. I don't know how, these are progressives. And I don't use bifocals because I don't want you having to look at the little squares in my glasses. And so I use progressives. And I keep my glasses in a special place there on, where I can reach them, but where they're safe. Yeah. So I had this charging cord looped over my lamp to plug into the cell phone. No big deal. Except I've done this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. But when I unplugged the cell phone this week, that cord goes flopping straight up in the air, and the end of the, whatever you call the, little port, the end of the cord, whipped over and hit, my glasses are lying like this, hit this. I saw the glasses, I heard the ka-chunk, looked over, here go the glasses, and it's a tile floor, and they came straight down, and bam! And I said, well, there's $300+. And sure enough, both lenses are just... So I went scrambling to find these other glasses. I keep these for backup, but it's I have to kind of... If you see me moving my head, the focus is a little off. I'm used to a different prescription than once. And this old pair, I hardly ever change frames. That's why you think I never get new glasses. For the last 15 years, I wear the same. I just get the same frames every time I need new frames because I like them. But the lenses have been changing the last few years. So if you see me, I was looking at while going, I thought, it takes me a moment to focus. So don't pay attention. That's what's wrong. I'm not ill or anything. But you notice if you wear glasses, if you change, whip around with prescriptions, it makes you a little off-centered for a moment. And I noticed walking, that it's kind of like, it's like, well, I got to go get my glasses. I got to get new lenses in my glasses. So anyway, this is titled Things That We Have to Know. Now you have to know these. And all of this, most of this that you're going to hear today, you've known in here and there, you hear this, but we're going to bring it together. And I'm going to begin to get us focused, and we're out of a 1 John passage. This is we're working out of 1 John, but we're not going to start with 1 John. We're going to lead into this by going to the book of Revelation. There's something very concerning here. And this is just a piece of how to fulfill this. There's something that can, well, let me read it and you'll see what the concern is. If you've paid attention to this, and I just picked two passages, there's more, but I just picked two. You read these letters to the churches and how they start and how they end. And so in chapter 3, and we're going to look at two different passages in chapter 3, two different statements. And so let's look at this. In verse 5 through 6, we read this: "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, this is Jesus speaking. He said, if you overcome, I won't blot your name out. It's like, whoa. And then he says this, and you know, "I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So he who overcomes, and he's saying, you know, he who endures to the end, and wow, you've got to overcome. You can't give up. You've got to stay in this. You've got to fight this battle. And then we go over here to verse 11, same chapter 3 of Revelation. And we start again. He said, "Behold," Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. "Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." We don't read this stuff. And we need to know that he's summarizing now. He's giving John this, he's saying, okay, all my words I've taught you guys, all this scripture, everything, I'm telling you now, here's how we're going to bring it together. We're going to put this all in the batch. I've given you the recipe over here. Now we're going to start looking at a finished product and what it takes to get it out of the oven and it's baked. And this is why this is where it comes down to it. And he said, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. By virtue of saying that, he's saying, if you don't watch out, if you don't hold fast to what you've been given in Christ, somebody can get that crown. That's what he's saying here. Hold fast so nobody gets your crown. So nobody can take away everything that you believed and wanted all your blasted life. Then this is serious stuff. That's why we need this. And we're going to talk about how to keep that crown and what to do. It says, "He who overcomes," I'm coming quickly, hold what you have. "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him." Look at this. He said, if you overcome. He didn't say if you're perfect. He said, but if you overcome. If you overcome the enemy. If you overcome these temptations and don't just let them drag you down. You're going to fall once in a while, but get up. And don't be overcome by them. And he said, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and will go and he'll go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name." You say, are you kidding me? No. He said, you overcome. He says, I'll put my name on you. I'll write my name on you. And you're marked as mine. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Some of your translation will say, "He who endures to the end." And Jesus has mentioned that in his word. But you've got to overcome. You've got to overcome whatever it is that Scripture calls, you know, your besetting sin. That's what we call it in Christianity. And Paul talks about that besetting sin that tangles you up in the race. He says, you overcome it. You've got to be always striving. You can't let up. There's just no rest out here. Sure, you can have some R&R, and God gives you time to get recuperated, but you've got to get back in the battle. Nobody in Christianity, nobody retires from the battle. There's no the only retirement plan in Christianity is straight up. You don't, God doesn't give you an RV to own and drive around and you know, when God says, okay, you're a retired Christian, so you don't want to let you off the hook, you don't have to worry about being faithful anymore and fighting these spiritual battles, and God says, nope, that's not the way it is. God's retirement plan is one way. And you'll know it when it happens. It's like, do you have to plan for God's retirement? No, you keep on overcoming. When God retires you, you're retired. And you'll know it. And until then, we have to overcome, no matter how you feel, no matter how tired you are. Sometimes, and I say that because there's times I've said to God, and I will again, I'm tired, Lord. I can't get a message to kind of come to the forefront. I've struggled with this once or twice. You know, I just couldn't get a message. Just couldn't get it to, or thinking I couldn't. And it's like, and I'm tired. And I get weary. And it's just like, God, I just can't get it to flow. I'm distracted. My mind's on 100 other things. And I just, you know, do you need somebody else doing this once in a while? And it's like, you'll know when I'm through with you. Okay. Sure, there's time. We all have to just kind of say somebody else has got to do the job. But that's not when. And it's like, Tony, you can't ever let up in the battle. You know, don't ever get a chance to back off and not have to fight the spiritual warfare Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, week after week, trying to get messages and put it together where people can understand it and use it. And it's like, no. 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 That's not the way I work with you. I don't work that way with anybody. So friends, he who endures to the end, she who overcomes. And keep that in mind. You've got to overcome. You can't be overcome. You've got to overcome. Now, some of you facing depression. Some of you facing sorrow, disappointment, frustration, failure, betrayal. Some of you been lied to. Some of you been fired. Downsized, call it what they want. Every one of us had something or many somethings happen to us. And we have reason and human nature to look back and say, that was a sorry thing that happened to me. That was an awful thing they did, she did, he did, they whatever. But there comes a place where God's saying, I want you to overcome this. You overcome this by yielding to me. And recognizing these things, there's three major things we're going to look at today. And I'm going to show you how you really begin and stay in this process of overcoming. Don't ever want to read scripture and say, wow, God says overcome, then not talk about how to do it. Friends, whatever you're fighting, whatever habit, if a drinking problem, overeating problem, drug problem, you know, maybe you just get easily offended. You got a temper problem. You just, whatever your issue is, God says, I want you fighting. I want you fighting in the spirit. I don't want you ever sitting back and saying, I can't overcome. I'm just going, heck with it, I'm going to give in to it. I'm sure you feel like that, but God says there's a difference between feeling like it and doing it. Don't ever give in to it. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil is working behind the scenes, and every one of us, and very actively on others, and especially if God's got you doing a ministry in the church, the devil is going to be very active at you. And he's going to try to discourage you every step of the way. And he's every lie that can be told, he's the father of lies. He's a murderer and was a murderer from the beginning. And the devil's out to get you. He's a roaring lion seeking to devour. And this doesn't mean you fear him. You overcome him. So let's look at this first point and what that means. How am I going to overcome? How am I going to receive that crown? How am I going to stay in this race when so much is against me? And listen, I'm watching God's people. I'm seeing more people now than I've seen in a long time. I'm having to space people out. There's so many. And a lot of these are people in ministry. They're hurt. The enemy's attacking from every side. People in their church are crotchety. They've got to settle this dispute and put out that fire and keep this going. And then they get it, you know, their children act up. And their grown children act up. Sometimes grown children are acting up more these days than little children. Some real excitement at the table over there. And people are distressed. Ministers are hurting. You know, the only ministers I know, let me put it this way, that aren't hurting are these mega guys that are building these empires. They have 30 or some odd classic, you know, cars and their garages. They think they're Jay Leno's and all this kind of stuff. But the guys out there really whipping it, really going after it. The guys and gals, because there's women in ministry and there's people just knocking their heads off out there, and the devil is after them. And here's what the problem is. Let me tell you something. And this applies to all of us. I'm not just defending myself and other people. We're all in ministry. But don't you get tired sometimes when you're out there active and you're trying to do what God gifted you and called you to do? Do you ever get a little weary with all the people sitting in the stands and criticizing your every move when they're not willing to play? You see, that's what discourages so many Christians, is there's so many spectators, and they call the shots. Well, if I'd have been you, and if I would have been there, and if I would have, but it's, you know, isn't it easy to call the play from the stands? But when you're down there and there's nothing but chaos all around you. I was reading about a particular naval battle fought way back in the Napoleonic Wars. And this British ship and this French ship, they fired broadsides, right? They opened up these doors, run the cannons out, and they have to be close. As a matter of fact, they said they had to be pistol shot close, and then went into that. You know how close that was? 20 yards. So one ship comes up to another, and 20 yards apart, they're firing 26 and 32 pound cannonballs into each other. Just boom, 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 down there. Splinters flying, people dying. And you say, what has that got to do? The captain of that ship, each ship, had to direct those ships where one tried to get the advantage over the other. You got a little bit more, what they call, weight of metal into the other ship. More cannonballs fired, heavier cannonballs, whatever it was. And he had to keep his wits about him with spars falling, sails coming down, ropes crashing, and he's thinking and going and plotting, and he's standing out there and everybody's shooting at him. And then later, depending on how they call it, dismasted, if you're all your mast got shot away and you couldn't sail anymore, but you got out of it, then they would have a board of inquiry, and all these admirals would sit on that board and judge the actions that they never had a part in. And you should have, and you would have, and and it's too bad because these poor captains of these ships, everyone had to go through an inquiry if you got a ship shot up. Didn't matter if you saved your man and you won the battle. You know, how come you got your ship tied up and all the spars? Oh, I don't know. We had a broadside of about 25 guns blasting us all to pieces. But I was thinking about that, and I thought, isn't that the case in life? You do your darndest. You come out of it. You have fought, and you're bloody. And a bunch of peons over here who think they're something are sitting there judging your every action. And that's been going on forever. So I'll say this to you. God's pushed you as a captain of some particular ship. You're an influence over certain people. And there will always be others who will sit and judge your actions. and tell you how it should have been done. Don't you think over the 40-something years I've been doing this that I've had a lot of advice? And all you can do is say, you weren't there. And if you think it's so easy, you get yourself out there and you listen to people's problems and you cast out demons and you get in the middle of this thing, or put up or shut up. I used to not be that way. I used to be so hurt by people's criticism, and it's now. Have you done that? Have you been there? And people will sometimes used to in the past that criticize messages and stuff, and you need to present it this way and that's why. Have you ever preached a message? No? Get up and preach one or shut up. Because there's a warfare up here. It's exhausting. Well, you've been, and Clarence, you'll come out exhausted. You're going, God, you know, I couldn't even focus on those passages. It seemed like something was going on. Little lights will come through the window or something. All kinds of weird things that nobody else sees. So here's the point. You've got to do what the Scripture tells you to do. And it's not dependent, and it does not weigh upon what somebody else thinks. It depends all on what God says, what God thinks, and what God's will is for you. Everybody with me? So to come out and to overcome, let's hit this real hard now. We've got a big, huge introduction, and we've got it. Okay, we've got this. We've got overcome. And there's going to be a lot of people judging us. And there are going to be people in the stands. And they're always going to tell us a different way to do it. But when it comes down to it, let's look at this first point. Jesus is much more powerful than your enemy. And don't you ever forget it. Jesus is much more powerful than your enemy. If you're going to overcome, there has to be a place where you quit filly-booling around. quit fiddling around. Quit panicking. Quit juggling everything in life and just let it hit the ground and say, okay, look. What does 1 John 4:4 say? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Depending on your translation, it'll be worded slightly different. But, you know, Jesus is so much more powerful than your worst enemy. And 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Who is he that's in you? Jesus Christ. And there comes a place where you begin to claim that scripture over everything. You can overcome. You have overcome them, and you will, see, overcome, just like Jesus wants, because he who is in you is greater than he's in the world. So Jesus is bigger than your blasted problem, than your health, than your critics. Jesus is bigger than your depression. He's bigger than your enemy. Now, your main enemy is the devil, but he uses all these other things to bring us down. Are you oppressed? Are you depressed? Are you a worrier? Jesus is bigger than that. That's okay. I saw the hand of worry come up. Any other worriers? Any other worriers in here? There's one. Okay, we've asked before. Everybody knows I worry. So, you know, and now it's a constant battle for me. That's one of my weaknesses. So, you know, and yet, see, I have to have these messages right here, and I'll struggle with them. Why do I struggle with them? Because it's me. It's a me first thing, Tony. Before you can bring this, I'm going to have to work on you. Worrier. And, of course, you know, it's like, any other frailties in you, Tony? I don't know. I'm calm. I'm patient. I'm gentle. Well, why is that so funny? Tender-hearted to the nth degree, and never have a temper. Has anybody in this room ever seen me lose my temper? You've seen me lose my temper? Anybody else? See? You didn't know, did you? Just Mr. Calm and Efficient. Yeah, I guess if y'all been around too long, you probably. It takes a bit, but I sure can. When I'm mad. And yet, if it tempers your problem, whatever it is, and maybe it's not just you. What if it's the people you have to contend with? What if it's false prophets? What if it's a bunch of Pharisees you got to deal with? What if it's a bunch of academic atheists? False religious people? What if you have to be around folks that just constantly want to disclaim Christ and discourage every Christian? What if your kids come home, or grandkids, or whatever it is, and they're telling you about some of the stuff, whatever school they go to, that they were taught? And you're just going, oh my God, really? They're teaching that? And they have been for a while, you just didn't know it. Not in every school, but in a lot of places. And so what do? You stand and claim the authority of Jesus, and you say, you know, I have overcome and I will overcome, and greater is he that's in me, Jesus in me, than he that's in the world. And Jesus, you know, what does it say over in 1 Peter? It said, what? Being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to God, or obedient to death, even death on a cross. What does it say then? Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place, and God gave Jesus the name that's over, you know, above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and earth beneath the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you stand in the power of God. That's your job and mine. And to say, greater is Jesus Christ in me than he that's in the world. And at the name of Jesus, I command you, Satan, you will bow and you will go at the command of Christ through me. And I rebuke this tumor. I rebuke this sickness. I rebuke this depression. I rebuke this addiction. And I will not give in to it, because Jesus Christ in me is greater than my problem. Christ in me, my hope of glory. Friends, to overcome, that's what you start doing. And I'll listen to some of these false prophets on TV. One of them in particular just rubs me raw. You know why? Because every message all the time is how great it is, and how good this thing is, and how easy it is, and God just can't wait to bless you. You know, there's a smattering of truth, but you want to know the real, raw truth of the Word of God? The gate is small, and the path is narrow, and it's the hardest path you'll ever, ever walk. Because it goes through all kinds of living hell on earth to get to heaven. It goes through the jungle of disappointment, confusion, and despair. It goes through the flood of doubt and worry. And it goes through the valley of the shadow of death, when the people you care about the most are swept away from this life, and you're left alone with your emotions and feelings and thoughts. It's a hard, rugged path. And friends, why? People won't tell the truth. They just want to draw a crowd and make a lot of money. But I'm a firm believer. And if you're called of God, I say I'm a firm believer. There's no other way. It's like this court thing, to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. And if you know the truth, you're prepared. You're not caught unawares when something happens. You can say, this is part of walking that straight path. It weaves and it goes, and it's a tough path. And there's something on it all the time to distract. And there's all kinds of little off paths. And it's easy to walk off of one and find yourself out in the middle of nowhere, sinking in the swamp. Friends, listen, listen, listen. Even though the path is tough, it's a narrow one. And it's all kinds of harassment, and the enemy is constantly trying to get you off of it. Greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. I began this path at 17 years old. I had no idea what was in store for me. I had no idea how many failures I would have to go through myself, and how many of the failures of other people in my life, how many disappointments, how many heartbreaking experiences. I had no idea how many hearts I would break. You don't know. You just start off and it's all good, right? You ask Jesus in your heart and you know you're saved and your sins are forgiven and you're just on hallelujah time, and it goes on for a while. I guess you can call it your Christian honeymoon period. And then one day, what happened? This wasn't supposed to happen. Nobody told me this would happen. Well, you're being told that this Christian life is real and there's a devil out there, and that's why you have to put on your full armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. You got to hold in your hand the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and in your hand the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. And you're going to have to take your stand and go into Him hacking and swinging and let Him have it with the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. And one of those things you let Him have it with is, greater is Jesus Christ in me than he that's in the world. You atheist, you murderer, you terrorist, I will not yield. I will not give up ground. You are not going to tempt me into doing something to be weak here, to curse my God. I'm standing on my faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's where it's got to be, friend. I got to get to... No, thank you. Second point. Got to get the second point here. Getting a little carried away with the first one. Just know this, Jesus has the power. He's already defeated the devil. He stripped him bare. I pray for that all the time. You know what I pray for? Part of what I pray, and I hope you pray it too. I pray, God, you strip the devil, now strip, make naked, bare, everybody that serves him. All these antichrists, all these communists, socialists, atheists, strip them bare where we all sit. Let's see who's who. Let's take the facade off and the play acting. The public face we give. Everybody has a public face, right? Most everybody. You don't need a public face. Why don't you just be you? But we all have a presenting face. We have that stage play, that stage face. How are you? Fine. Lord working in your life? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So you everything's okay with you? Anything we need a prayer? No, I'm just fine. Yeah, I have gout. Stomach's not working. Can't remember anything. Don't know where my keys are. No, I'm just fine. Thank you. Wow. And God's there on his throne looking down saying, oh, what a Lulu. Lying little thing. You have nothing to fear. Nothing. You have all power through Jesus Christ. Secondly, Jesus Christ. Jesus, love. His love is more powerful than your pain. Do you hear this? His love is more powerful than your pain. I didn't put a passage in here. I'm just going to give it to you. It's still out of 1 John. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. This is 1 John 4, 16 through 17. God is love. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. What does that mean? He came as a human, filled with God's Spirit. Now, he was perfect. But we're human. And we're filled with his Spirit, if you want to be, if you ask him to. And you're willing to give him every day, every all the time, whatever it is that you're besetting sins. And you have the power of his name that makes every knee bow and every tongue confess. What are you afraid of? You said, I don't know if I can really do that. You can't do that. He does that. You bring his name. If you read in the Gospels, it talks about, his disciples said, there's people casting out demons in your name. We told them to stop. They're preaching in your name. We told them to stop. He said, don't stop them. Well, what was happening? At his name, just his name, demons fled. It didn't depend on the person. Depends on the power of his name. Start using it more. Get in there with it. Pray in his name. Command these things down in his name. Listen. Oh, listen, Jesus loving you is more powerful than your pain. What is your pain? What are you hurting from? Failure? You hurting from hate? Got a desire for revenge? Are you premeditating harm on someone else? Do you want to harm someone? Are you bitter? It's okay to admit it to God. He knows it anyway. Let me ask you this. And this is so hard for Christians to be honest about. And I brought this up before, but it's on my heart to do it again. Are you hurt at God? Are you angry at the Lord? If you are, he's not going to strike you dead. He wants you to talk with him about it. If you've ever lost someone really close to you, and you can tell me you weren't hurt at or angry with God for a bit, well, I want to really talk with you and get to know you more. Because things like that happen, and it's just, we're human beings, and to say, why, God, why'd you take them? Why'd you take them from my life? Why'd you let this happen? Why did this accident have to take place? And if you're real honest, have you ever, you don't have to raise a hand or anything, just questions for us to take in and think about. Have you ever said to yourself, why didn't this happen to instead of them? Haven't we all? You ever passed a horrible wreck on the freeway and just had that fleeting moment in one form or another? God, I'm glad it was them and not me. Well, if you haven't, you're a unique person. And those are selfish thoughts, but they're thoughts of self-preservation. To want to hate, to want revenge. Are there people in my life that I really have to struggle? You know there are. That I've wanted revenge on. There's people I've just really wanted to hurt in my life because they hurt me or they hurt somebody I cared about. And yet at the same time, there's God saying, I'm bigger than this, Tony. I'm bigger than your pain. My love is bigger than your pain. My love is bigger than all your failures and all the failures of others in your life. My love is bigger than your want for revenge. And your desire to hate, and the bitterness, and the questioning. My love, Tony, is bigger than anything you're feeling or experiencing or ever will. Now let my love into your heart. God refuses, his love refuses to hate or seek revenge or premeditate harm on another person, unlike us. But through his love, he understands. And his love can carry us through as long as we realize that greater is Jesus in us than he that's in the world. And greater is his love than me than all my pain. Jesus' love in me makes me invincible. And my pain, if I'll think about it, is often designed to open my heart, to break a hardened heart, and to say, dear God, I cannot go this road. I cannot love anymore. I just can't. And you, if you will listen, you will hear him saying, I can. And I will come through for you. And let him open up that hardness, that hurt part, that damaged tissue in your life and let Jesus Christ heal you and put His love in you that's so much greater than your pain. And yes, we close with this last one. Jesus' faith. And I could have worded this better. I just kind of wanted to stay in line. But you can put it the faith of Jesus. It'll say Jesus' faith up there is more powerful than your weakness and doubts. The faith of Jesus. His faith that He puts in you is the idea here. You want to overcome, then let His faith that is so powerful and is more powerful than all my weaknesses, doubts, and I wanted to put fears and shortcomings and hang-ups, but just too long. But we get it. This is also in 1 John 5, it's 13 through 15. These things I've written you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know that? Are you convinced you have eternal life? He said, I've written these things to you who believe. If you believe in the name of the Son of God, you believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again the third day. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. You believe that in your heart and you said, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. And the only way I'm going to be forgiven is by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. By grace I am saved through faith. This is not a myself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And it's your grace, Lord, faith through grace. And I come before you not because I'm good, because in my flesh is no good thing. My righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. But the grace of God is bigger than that. And Jesus Christ died for me, took it upon Himself, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin and sets me free. Isn't that great? That should give you joy and make you happy. You know, listen, let me sum this up with this. Yes, if you want to overcome like he's talking about over here in Revelation, then I need to give in and understand and accept that greater is Jesus. I've overcome already, and greater is Jesus in me than he that's in the world. And that Jesus' love is more powerful than my pain. And I need to know that His faith, the faith He gives me, when I receive Him into my heart, the faith He even gives to receive Him in the first place, is more powerful than all my weaknesses and doubts, and then you put sins and fears and worries and shortcomings. I'm going to close with this. To have this powerful, all-consuming faith, you begin by doing this. Number one, confess your lack of faith. Confess your doubts to God. So many Christians are afraid to say they don't have faith. Well, look at His disciples. He's asleep in the boat, and a storm's come up, and they're running to Him. Lord, we're drowning. I mentioned this before, but it just sits there with me on lack of faith. It's like, and He's going to drown in the boat with you, right? You guys didn't have anything. Well, neither do we most of the time. You're going to have to confess your lack of faith, your doubts and your fears. And there's a place to confess, God, I'm hurt at you. I feel like you let me down. I feel like that you allowed these people over here to be so ugly to me, and you could have stopped them. You allowed this person I care about very much in my life to be taken. If you haven't gone through that, then man, you haven't struggled with your faith. It's in struggling with my faith that I grow stronger. When I have to just put it out there before Him at the foot of the cross and say, I'm such a weak human being and I'm so upset and I'm so hurt. I'm so desperate. And God's saying, come on. Come on. Come on. Come boldly to the throne of grace and you pour this stuff out. I'm a big God with a big heart. And I'll let you, and I'm a good listener and counselor, and I'll let you pour it out. And as you do, my healing power will come upon you. And you may not know it at the moment, but as you work through this, and as you come to me time and again, you'll find yourself more powerful in the faith, stronger, more open, more transparent, more usable, because you've struggled with your faith and overcome. Wow. Now, I'm telling you, this is where it is. And you know, you confess that, you admit your doubts and fears, you get honest with God, and you determine to stop living beneath His faith. This is the wrapper-upper right here. You've got to determine in your heart with all this and being transparent and open before God that, God, I'm not going to live beneath my faith. We say, what does that mean? It means that I'm no longer going to be a victim. And I'm not going to make excuses. And I'm not going to be someone's little toady out here. And I'm not going to be whipped up and beat on and turned any which way, like the wind, wherever the wind blows, by someone's opinion or anything else. I'm going to give my heart to Jesus, my body to Jesus as a living sacrifice, like it says in Romans 12, and I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but I'm going to be transformed. And I want you to do it, God. I want you to take out the ugly and put in the beautiful. Take me out of the picture, take my old flesh out, and put in the beautiful Son of the living God, the beautiful power of the Holy Spirit. And God, I want it. I want this faith. I don't have it all now, but I want it, God. Give me a pure, undying faith. Give me the faith that overcomes. Because greater is Jesus in me than he that's in the world. Your love is bigger than my pain. And your faith is going to take me from this old planet into the world of heaven, because I place my faith in Jesus and I'm not giving up, period. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your power, for your Holy Spirit, for the joy of our salvation. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for putting up with us. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and being here every moment, every day of our lives. Thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you. And thank you for all your wonderful people out here this morning. In the name of Jesus, bless them all. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Thank you.